Good morning. I want you to understand I'm not a four-star speaker, you know. But I'll do the best I can with this talk. This is not really a sermon. This is just some information that I was wanting to share with the congregation. I think it's been about 37 years since I spoke on Sunday morning. We're going to talk a little bit about baptism. We all know that baptism is an essential part of our being saved. In Acts 2:38, it reads, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." This is really an important verse. In this verse, the most important part here is, that, not the most important, but one of them is, it says to repent and be baptized. It doesn't say anything in this verse about being baptized as an outward sign of your inward feeling because you've been saved. It says to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. When I was a young man, and I'm going to be sharing just a little bit of my childhood with you, not for sympathy, but just because you need to know it to kind of understand where I'm going here. As a child, I attended services at Dean Avenue, Church of Christ. I was there until I was about somewhere around 14. While I was still a young person, I remember a man there that, and I can't tell you his name, but I remember him giving talks. I remember him being in charge of the Lord's table. In my estimation, as a child, he did a wonderful job. But then about 40 years later, I heard that he had gone forward and had been rebaptized. And I thought to myself, why would this man be rebaptized? So now I'm sure that some of you probably have figured out what I'm talking about. Last November, Patty and I were both rebaptized by Tom Witte, right here. Tom Witte was here for a week speaking at Dean Avenue. I called and found out who he was staying with, and I talked to Tom about getting rebaptized on that Wednesday. I told Tom that Patty and I were willing to go forward and do whatever it took to take care of this. Tom's answer to me was this, and don't hold this against Tom because I'm giving you my take on this. He said that most evangelists that he had talked to said that baptism edifies the congregation, where rebaptism does not. Therefore, he suggested that we get rebaptized in private instead of coming before the whole congregation. Since that time, I think some people have found out about it and have been asking questions, and that was why Lowell had asked me if I would speak about this, and he asked me to do it on Sunday morning. I thought I'd got out of it last Sunday when church was canceled, but I should have known Lowell wouldn't let that happen. That's why I was asked to give this talk. I'll try to keep everything here in order if I can. Patty had written a letter to Tom. She likes to put things in pen and paper, where I just like to... We set up a time to come over here and meet with him, and we met with him, and she presented him with this letter. This is Patty's letter to Tom Witte. "I was saved when I was 14 years old. I've always thought and believed I was saved ever since then. I have at various times in my life strayed off the narrow path, but have always come back and always believed I was saved. When I was baptized, it was a full immersion baptism. However, over the last year or so, I have started having doubts. One of the attorneys where I work passed away about a year ago. He was a devout Jew. From what was said at his funeral, I know his family and friends all thought he was going to heaven. My thoughts at the time were, how sad. I am pretty sure he did not know Jesus Christ. But he lived his life as a good Jew and thought he was going to heaven. Periodically after that, I started having thoughts about, what if I was the same way? What if I was living my life as though I thought I should, but in the end, I did not make it to heaven either. Living most of my life as a Christian was for nothing. then I would tell myself Satan was just throwing his darts at me, trying to make me doubt. No, I was a Christian. I was a believer. I was sure. About a month ago, I found my old certificate of baptism. I clearly remember making the decision to get saved on a Tuesday night in October. However, my certificate of baptism says I was baptized in December that same year. Uh-oh, another doubt of whether I was really saved. Last weekend, I went to the ladies' retreat with Amy up near Fort Dodge. The speaker told a story of when she got baptized at the age of 14 because of nudging of friends of hers. Later on in her life, after she was married, she needed to be baptized again. The first time was not for the right reasons. She said, "Don't be afraid to humble yourself to do the right thing." The next day, this would have been back in November, last Sunday, is when Tim Casey gave his talk. Tim Casey gave his talk on Salvation's Highway. The handout specifically mentioned getting saved and then getting baptized. Sometime later, "Okay, Lord, you have hit me on the head several times now. I get the picture. I was pretty certain I was saved, but now I'm not sure anymore. I'm going to humble myself and get rebaptized because I would rather be saved than sorry." Now, some of you that are kind of newer or younger probably don't know, but Pat was raised in the Assembly of God Church, and when we first married, if I understood right, they kind of believed that you went forward and you got saved, and then if you, they believed in baptism later on, but you just did it kind of as a sign of your inward feeling. It wasn't part of your salvation. Okay. And then, of course, Pat came home one Sunday and mentioned to me that Mark Herman had mentioned in his Sunday school class downstairs that if you had any doubts at all about your baptism, that you should get rebaptized. At that time, Pat didn't have any serious doubt yet, but it was starting to work, and therefore did not find it necessary to do anything. That's kind of the reason that Patty did this. Now, while all this was going on, it was kind of having a little effect on me. As most of you know, I was raised up at Dean Avenue. And I'm telling you this part just so you'll understand why. My folks were divorced, both had remarried, both had a boy and girl. My father and Margie, who was my stepmother, I never referred to as a stepmother. She was, I was real close to her. But they had the missionaries came there from the Mormon church and had worked with them for about a year. One of the big selling points was that you could have baptism for the dead, if I understood it right. And my dad was concerned that his father had not been baptized. So this was one of the points about the Mormon church that convinced my dad it was the way to go. My grandmother Ines, who I call Mom, so you don't get confused, Mom had always taken me up to Dean Avenue. I was putting this talk together, and I don't say this to be sentimental to anybody, but I could actually remember myself sitting there in that pew and seeing Harold and B. Warren sitting up there, Dale and Audrey. I mean, I could see all of the old members that were back there at Dean Avenue. I could even remember exactly where they were positioned. Even though we don't have assigned seats, I could remember exactly where they were at. So as a result of my father's teaching from the Mormon church, he finally persuaded Mom to let Doug and I, my little brother, attend the Mormon church with him. So we kind of switched over at that time. And I'm guessing, Carol could probably correct me on this, but somewhere around 14 is when I quit going to the Dean Avenue with Mom and started going with Dad and Marge to please them, to the Mormon church. I was baptized at the age of 16 at Ames in the Mormon church. There was nothing wrong with the mechanics of my baptism. It was accepted by the Church of Christ. It was a full immersion baptism. The mechanics were all right, but I was unsure that I had done it for the right reason. And it was one of those unsure things that just kind of grows on you and you can't put it away. Some time ago, I was working with the man about his salvation. He had come to me and asked me questions about it. And I was a little in over my head, so I went to Marvin Engel, and I asked him if he had some suggestions for me, and he gave me a 10-step outline for working with people concerning their salvation. The first step was that they had to believe that the Bible was the holy word of God. If they couldn't get past that, there was no place for him to go. They had to believe in the whole Bible. That was the first step. And they couldn't just pick and choose the verses they wanted to use. They had to use them all. The second step was the telling of the story of Cain and Abel. And I thank you for reading that for me. Cain and Abel kind of had two meanings for me. Remembering that childhood of mine, I was raised with a little brother. His name was Doug. And Doug was a little instigator. He was always getting in trouble, and Mom would make me go save him. So every fight I got into was to save him. It wasn't for me, because nobody bothered me. So when I heard this story of Cain and Abel for the first time, I think it was Audrey Brady was my teacher at the time up there at Dean Avenue. I wish she was here. I could ask her a lot of these questions. She knows more about me than I know about myself. But when I first heard the story about Cain and Abel, I kind of related it to my situation with my younger brother. The moral of the story was, as far as I was concerned, that since Doug was always getting me in trouble, I should keep an eye on him before he does me in. That was my take on the Cain and Abel story. Now, as an adult, the story of Cain and Abel, after talking to Marvin, kind of took a different turn, and it convinces me that God expects things to be done the way he asks us to do them. And I wasn't sure that I was baptized for the right reason. I got to thinking that I did this more to please my father than to follow the Bible teaching. And while I'm not judging anyone, but any religion that says they believe that they're going to go to heaven, John 14:6 says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, if that's true, there are a lot of people who have been led astray, in my estimation, and therefore need to make some changes. Baptism is something you want to do right, and you want to do it for the right reasons. And that's what Pat and I have attempted to do here. We'd like to keep our hearts right with God. So we chose to be rebaptized, and we wanted to share this with you because you are our Christian family, and I didn't want anybody having any doubts about why we had done this. So at this time, we will offer the gospel invitation. If you have anything we can help you with, please don't hesitate to come forward.